Thank you for coming today. You know, God does have a way of getting us in where we fit in, doesn't he? There's a lot of things in my life I didn't ask to do. But God said, you're going to do this. Having children, for example, I was never ready for that. Doing a lot of things in life. Let me share my screen here. Boom. Share. Here we go. One more time. Because I want to put it in a certain mode. There we go. The title of today's sermon is Discipleship 101, Getting a Grip on God's Book, the B-I-B-L-E. How many of y'all have your Bibles here at Chicagoland Bible Fellowship Church? We should, right? This is a book that comes from God. True? It's a gift. And it's what we preach every Sunday here at Chicagoland Bible Fellowship Church. We preach the Word of God. And I'm hoping God will speak to your hearts today through His Word. The text today is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. You can start opening your Bible there. We'll start in just a moment. I want to read my warm-up scripture, Psalms 19, 7 through 11, and they're all about the Word of God. Listen to this, Psalms 19, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Amen? Amen. Do you have the Bible? Can you get a grip on it? We're going to turn over here to 2 Timothy just a second. Okay. Discipleship 101. Discipleship 101 is a teaching ministry, a mentoring style training in the Word of God, in which we learn to trust and follow our Savior. Right? We're learning to follow Jesus through discipleship. We called it man to man, woman to woman, back in the days, back in the 80s. In fact, my college education was with discipleship, really. I chose to stay here in Chicago to be discipled under Dr. Dwight Perry and the Agape Gospel Mission. I chose to stay here instead of going away and messing up on the Lord. And Pastor Perry challenged me in that way. Pastor Dwight Perry, he taught us how to follow the book as our training book. After all, the Bible does speak about the whole Bible is about it consumes our whole faith. God speaks to us through his holy word. There were men assigned to me. I remember a man named Tony Harper. He'd come by my house and we had man to man. We'd open up the book like Psalms chapter 1 and we'd be digging into it, chewing on it, meditating, putting my name in it. And it was powerful. He said, through Psalm chapter 1, he told me, he said, Pete, your fruit is going to be so powerful that people are going to say, what happened to you? How did this happen? And I can point at the Word of God and say, like a tree planted by the waters, I was able to absorb the nutrition of God's Word, and it changed my life. Discipleship 101. That's what God is calling us to. Brandon preached on this about 2 months ago, and I got inspired, honestly. I'm inspired. So I'm doing all my next series, like just like Randy has his series. I'm doing my series on Discipleship 101. Getting a grip on God's Word. Amen? If we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17, hey, can you all believe this? Listen. Timothy did not have the New Testament. Isn't that kind of amazing? They were writing it as this book was being written to Timothy. This was being absorbed into Scripture. Isn't that something? In fact, it said, you know, Timothy was trained by his mother and his grandmother, right, in the Word. They were strictly the Old Testament. Now, I wonder, can you share the gospel through the Old Testament? Can you bring it home to somebody in a way only using the Old Testament? Well, that's what they were doing. That's what Paul was doing with Timothy. They were looking at the Old Testament scriptures about Jesus. And if you look all through the scriptures, you see it pointing at Jesus. Let's look at 2 Timothy. He's talking to a young man named Timothy, who was a faithful man, a man that was, Paul ordained him and called him to be a leader, almost like a bishop, an overseer of churches. He was giving Timothy the doctrine. Just tell him, this is how the church is going to be run. This is the way things are going to go. This is how we do it. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. I'm going to read from the screen up here. I have my Bible. I'm putting my Bible in my hand because I told you I'm excited about handling this book. It's exciting. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned. You, Timothy, must continue the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. Repeat that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Check this out. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How about that? He's telling Timothy that we have a book that's pointing us at Jesus. He's telling us about the Word of God, and it says it's a God-breathed book. It's called Theopneustos. God-breathed, God-inspired men to write these words. Think about Paul for a minute. This was kind of blowing my mind in a way. He never walked with Jesus on earth. In fact, when Paul was called, he was persecuting Christians. You remember? But then God got his attention, knocked him off his horse. He knocked him off his high horse, and he called Paul. And then Paul, guess what? Paul, it was revealed to Paul that the Scriptures, the Old Testament, was pointing to Jesus the whole time. Remember last time I talked about the Good Samaritan? We can't live up to that. We've blown it. We've messed it all up. True? In fact, we all deserve condemnation. We all deserve hell. Right? But God in his mercy sent his son Jesus to pay a price for us. he says, the scriptures, check it out. It says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture, Old and New Testament, right, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I could tell you three ways that it's profitable. I could tell you three ways it's profitable, just from verses I memorized as a young disciple. Psalm 119 says, it cleanses a man's way. He said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The word of God can cleanse our life, clean us up, get us on the right path. I need to be cleaned up. I still need to be clean. We need to be cleaned every day. The word of God is cleaning us, right? Then you look at Psalm 119, 105, it says, thy word is a lamp, a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We got a heavenly light shining through God's word, God-inspired book that lights our path, tells us where to go. Are you confused about where you're going in life right now, saint of God? Get back in the book. God's going to shine some light on exactly the path he wants you to take. And then in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, you know what he promises? Success in whatever you do. You want a successful life? And I must say, God has given me a successful life, honestly. He gave me a successful life. I raised four children, right? I walk with God. He kept me from a lot of things that I could have been destroyed. And honestly, I was bent in the wrong direction when I was called into discipleship. And God straightened me out. This book is profitable. Look what it says. For doctrine, that's teaching. Everything you teach, Brandon said, content. The content of what we teach people is going to be the word of God. This is the textbook. Keeps us all on the same page. It's profitable for doctrine. The teaching that we need to live life every day is skillfully. It says it's for reproof. Sometimes you get rebuked and tell you where you went wrong. You're wrong. I got some wrong attitudes still. God's always saying, Pete, you know you got something in your heart against that person. That's not right. So what do I do? And the Lord shines light, telling me, here's how you're going to handle this, right? Correction tells us the right way to go, right? Instead of grumbling and being angry at this person, I want you to give them a gift. A gift does what? Brings you before kings. A gift can break down a wall of resentment. How many people are going to refuse a gift? You know what I mean? I got a what? You got me a gift? Right? Sometimes God's word just gives you the right way. This is how you're going to handle this. Correction. And for instruction in righteousness. Right? The Bible is the basic instruction before leaving earth. The B-I-B-L-E. Basic instruction before leaving earth. Isn't that something? We got a book that gives us instructions. Here's how you're going to do it. Here's how it's going to go. My challenge today is for you, Chicagoland Bible. I want us to get a grip on God's word. Look at this picture. Now, just if you hold your Bible, like you see in the picture, I see the fingers on top and the thumb on the bottom. But try to take your thumb out of the way and see if you can hold your Bible. Your thumb is like opposing the other fingers, so it gives you a good grip, doesn't it? Now take away your thumb, and the book starts falling out your hand. True? It starts to slip away. You lose your grip. Am I right? Move any one of those fingers. Just try. I just want to challenge you. While you sit there, Try to grip your Bible with just four fingers, three fingers, two fingers, one finger. You could just turn a page. You can't hold the book. I want to challenge you to get grip on God's word. Amen? Now, if you look at those fingers in the picture here, I learned this as a young disciple. It's called the hand illustration. How many have heard the hand illustration? I see some nods. Some people say, no, they didn't. They've never heard this. Check it out. This is how we learn to get a grip on God's word. Look at the five fingers. Hearing the word. Reading the word. Studying the word. Memorizing the word. Meditating on the word. Take away one and you lose your grip. Huh? You're going to be missing something important. Look at that verse that goes with it. Romans 10:17. Hearing. What does it say? Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Let's say you're trying to share the gospel with somebody. Right? If you try to use your own words, you can get into an argument. They can start telling you their opinions and their thoughts. But if you share directly quoting the word of God, guess what? The power, you can't argue with God. You want to argue with that? You want to argue with the word of God? Go ahead. We'll see. God wins. His ways are right, pure, perfect. Amen? Faith come by hearing and hearing of the word of God. You got to hear the word. I'm going to talk about these in a minute, application, just a little bit. Reading is set. Revelations 1:3 says, blessed. Look at that one. Look at Revelations 1:3. Going right over there real quick. Are you all there yet? Anybody beat me yet? Revelations 1:3. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It goes the word hand, by the way. The time is at hand. And the book should be in your hand. Look at study. I'm going to use 2 Timothy 2:15, one you all know. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. You got to work at the word with your hands. You got to be flipping pages and studying and looking closely. I like how Brad Johnson was doing that last week when he preached here at Pastor's memorial celebration. And he was, I liked how he looked at the word, because that's what we got to do. We got to look at this book carefully. Studying is looking at something so carefully you learn, find something new, find something you didn't know. I got a question about that little clause, right? I see something I don't quite understand. Do you really mean all? Right? Do you really mean all scripture? Amen? Study. I challenge you to get involved in the Bible study here, Chicagoland Bible Fellowship. Meditating. Is that the next finger? Memorize. Psalm 199. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And it says in 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We got to have his word in our heart. Right? We got to have it memorized. We got to have the word perfect. So if Satan doesn't come along, as God really said. And you remember when Satan came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. In the wilderness, he was trying to get Jesus to eat some bread. When Jesus knew he was there to fast, his challenge was to fast 40 days and 40 nights. And he was very hungry. I've tried it. I've only made it up to 2 days. I've never made it to 3 days. I only know a few people that made it 40 days. 40 nights. Can you imagine just drinking water? That's it. No solid food for 40 days, 40 nights. Well, that's what Jesus was going through in the wilderness training. And Satan said, Why don't you just turn this bread, this stone, into bread? Right? And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's not time for me to eat bread right now. My job right now is to obey the word of God. Right? And I can't mess up. Jesus could not mess up, or our salvation would have been messed up. True? Jesus lived a perfect life. Meditating on his word. Psalms 1. I love Psalm 1. If you don't have that chapter memorized, it's only 6 verses. I challenge you to get Psalm 1 in your scripture memory pack, in your heart, in your life. Psalm 1 said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Is that heavy? Whew. That's a heavy chapter. It's a book that should be in your heart and in your mind. But it's saying that the man of God is going to meditate on his word day and night. That's a challenge, isn't it? I came in this week and my mind was tweaking. I get confused sometimes, like, where am I going? What am I doing? And Lord, as soon as I pick up the word, clarity comes back. And like, this is where I want you to keep your heart and mind on. These are the priorities, right? This is where you're going next. Here's what you're doing. Here's what you need to get rid of, right? Here's what you need to throw out. Here's what you need to do today. Amen. God speaks to us when we meditate on his word. Amen? The word of God. Listen to this. Like electricity, God's word is powerful and alive. Hey, guys, whether you plug in or not, I don't believe in electricity. Plug in. Touch the 2 wires. Like electricity, God's word is powerful. That's my verse for the week. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And so it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. That's deep. The word of God. Now listen, by the way, either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Have you heard that before? You probably have. I just thought I'd remind you. Whether or not we walk with God or we sin against God, guess what? His word is still powerful and active. And you're going to see when you get your spanking, a whooping, right? You're going to be saying, yep, that was right. The word of God. Get with the book. Hey, guys, I got some challenges for you today. And you can tweak this the way you would like to, but get in where you fit in, okay? Because I'm going to give you some challenges that you may or may not have done or may or need to put them on your bucket list. Get with the book, the 66 books of the Bible. There's 66 books in the Bible. 39 in the old, 39 books, 27 new. Where am I at on time? There are 5 books of the law. Repeat after me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Repeat them. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The 12 books of history, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, First Kings, Second Kings, Esther, Nehemiah, and Esther. Esther, Nehemiah, and Ezra. The five books of poetry. Let's say them together. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. Five major prophets. There's four major prophets, but Jeremiah wrote Lamentations as well. Here we go. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. 12 minor prophets. I use that little, believe it or not, that little thing. It's like a little poem. Hoj and Oj, Mn, Hz, Hzm. Hoj and Oj, Mn, Hz, Hzm. And you'll see how they play. Look at it. Hosea, Joel, and is Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Haggai, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Zechariah, and Malachi. That's your Old Testament. Okay? Your New Testament, the four Gospels, let's say them together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The one book of history, the early church, is Acts. We model our church. We should be modeling our church after the book of Acts. Acts. The Pauline books, or the letters, the epistles he wrote to the churches. They became scripture. Check it out. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. You can say them with me. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and James. 1 Peter. Then we go to Peter's books. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Then 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelations. 27 books of the New Testament. That's our book. That's this book. The book that we should be using in our textbook. The book that we should know. I got some challenges for you today, guys. And this is my application part. I want you to try these things. Okay? I'm going to skip that one. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. I didn't know that before this, before I prepared for this message. 1,189. Now, I've tried reading the Bible in 1 year. There are a lot of good plans out there. I recommend you read through the Bible in a year, but that usually doesn't work. I fail at that. I fail often on that. I've tried it multiple times in my life, in my last 40-something years as a Christian, as a disciple. But what does work for me, Pastor always says, meaning manageable, measurable. Meaning, how do you say it? Meaning manageable, measurable. Is to read the Bible one chapter a day. Just one. And it'll take you about 3 years. Just a little bit over 3 years. And if you just read two chapters some nights, if it's really short, like 2 John, the book of 2 John is only one chapter. It's really short. You could read two. You could read 2 and 3 John that day, right? But you could read the whole Bible through in 3 years. In 3 years. That's on my bucket list now. Read through every book in the Bible, right? Within 3 years. Before you die. Before leaving earth. Basic instruction before leaving earth. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration. Let's read it. Right? Now check this out. My next challenge is each of those fingers. For the study part, I'm going to say, join Doug Johnson's Bible study on Sunday, because we break down a chapter once a month, right? We really dig in. But he does give us a good format on how to analyze a chapter of Scripture. So you could take what you've learned from Elder Doug Johnson, who's been a blessing to us, right? And let's apply that to our study of a chapter of the God's Word. And we're in John chapter 7 right now, right? Or is it 8 now? 8 now because September just began. Now check this out. If you take a verse, hey, check this one out. Do you know one verse from every book in the Bible? Ooh, that's kind of heavy, isn't it? One key verse from every book in the Bible. That means Genesis, one from Genesis, which you probably do know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One verse. You probably know one already, but just put them in a package and say, I did it. It'll take 66 weeks if you do one verse per week. Huh? And then while you're at it, you go to town meditating on it. Right? Go to town meditating on that verse for the week. Right? This is not, the Bible doesn't tell us to do it like this, but it does say rightly divide the word of truth, right? And I just thought it would be a good challenge for us to get a grip on God's word this way. So I put a verse in my agenda book every week. I get my crayons out like I'm in first grade. Some people at McDonald's see me over there like, what's this dude doing pulling out his little 8-pack of all the basic colors of the and I color in, I yellow highlight the verse, the address, and I underline certain words with different colors, and I eat that verse up during the week. You know what Jeremiah said? Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words became for me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So if you have a verse per week, you could have the whole Bible, like a key verse from every book. I have no idea what's in Obadiah. I must confess. Brandon doesn't even know where Nahum is. I'm messing around. Right, but a key verse from every book in the Bible. Wouldn't that be cool? And then what? You know what I've also done? I listened to a good Holy Spirit-filled preacher preach on that verse. And you should have saw when I took 2 Timothy 3:14-17 today, I heard a Crawford LeRitt's son preach. He passed the baton. That dude got down on that. I sat there and listened. I said, wow! He gave a powerful word. His son. So it's kind of cool to look and see some younger people coming up. You can get a little more insight by hearing the word of God through someone else's preaching, right? Just go to YouTube and put in the verse that you're memorizing, right? And then you're going to see all these, somebody preaching on that or talking about, giving you an overview of that book, the book of Obadiah, overview, right? You're going to say, wow, it's cool. That's what my challenge is today, you guys. Will you take some of these challenges? Will you tweak them in a way that works for you? Will you get a grip on God's book, the B-I-B-L-E? Yes, that's the book for me, right? It tells me of the love of God, the B-I-B-L-E, right? It's the book that God wants to have a grip on. The book that we're to meditate on day and night, the book that we should read all the way through. Right? The book that we should memorize and be prepared to fight Satan and darkness, right? By quoting his word, standing on it, the B-I-B-L-E. And I'm going to stop right there. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue, help us to continue in your word. I fall off the wagon quite often. I was trying to read your word all the way through and fell off the wagon in the book of Numbers. Lord, help us, Lord, to get a grip on your word. Help us to begin to take your word in. Let your power charge us and energize us for the journey. Help us to be men and women of God here at Chicagoland Bible Fellowship, use us in a mighty way. Be glorified. And thank you for this book. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.